Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss what you need to know to build out a B2B e-commerce store. When most people set up an e-commerce store, they're thinking about capturing individual online shoppers. These online shoppers often search for good prices on single purchases, forcing store owners to drive lots of traffic to their website. One of the shifts you can make is to become a business-to-business or B2B store. Instead of marketing yourself to individual consumers, you can lock in professional clients searching for goods in higher quantities at fairly consistent intervals. It requires you to make some changes, but it's a very appealing business strategy that you, as a store builder, should be prepared for. On this episode, you'll hear an explanation of a B2B business model and how it differs from a B2C or business-to-consumer model. In a B2B model, your customers are other businesses rather than individual shoppers, which means that the quantity and frequency of the orders will be different from those of your normal shoppers. Next, we'll discuss how B2B clients differ from your B2C shoppers. B2B shoppers look for different quantities and shop more regularly, but they also have different shopping habits and different pricing expectations that you as a store builder need to be aware of. Then we'll share some ways to attract B2B clients to your sites. You will want to segment your B2B customers and make sure you have standard discounts and deals in place for the different segments that you've put in place. After that, we'll talk about how to update your website for B2B activity. You don't have to create a different site that's distinct from your B2C site. Just make sure you set up specific portals of entry for the different types of clients that you pursue. We'll also talk about what B2B clients need in terms of customer service. When you build relationships with businesses, you'll have more consistency and more patience, but your business will also become more reliant on keeping those clients happy. And finally, we'll share some tech resources to help you set up your site for B2B e-commerce. If you're interested in expanding into the B2B market with your e-commerce store, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma. Chris, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
It's good to see you, Ryan.
Good. All right, we're talking B2B e-commerce today. Let's just kind of, to get off started, right, what is business-to-business e-commerce?
So in the long ago past, right, when people talked about B2B versus B2C or business-to-consumer and business-to-business, it was wildly different. Right, one of the early systems that we built in telecommunications for businesses. It was a pure B2B SaaS back in, I think, 2000. When we built it, right, it was dramatically different. Where it was like, look, I don't want to pay with a credit card, and I only want to do invoicing, and I want to do stair step functions for pricing on volume over time. And today, what you find is you don't have to have a massively different base because B2B and B2C keep getting kind of closer and closer. But that said, there are some differences, right? We have, for example, the ability to reorder quantities, right, is something that is normally a business-to-business dynamic where someone says, listen, I'm going to make a regular order, right? And you just think about a company who has to buy supplies, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say that you're a business who buys sprinkler heads from a manufacturer that manufactures sprinkler heads so that your people can go out and replace sprinkler heads for corporations. Well, if you're buying sprinkler heads, you likely go, okay, I buy 200 of these and of one SKU, and I buy another 50 of another SKU, and I buy another 300 of this other SKU. And every month or every 2 months or every 3 months, I have a regular order. And as you're listening to that, you think, that sounds like how I order toilet paper at Amazon. Right? You're like, right. We've shifted into subscription modeling for consumers. So at some level, right, it looks different. At other levels, it sounds reminiscent to what some people are doing in B2C. things like, if I want pricing, I want a different price, right? And you go, yes, in the B2B world, we talk about wholesale pricing, the ability to get a different rate. But you will find certain websites, certain e-commerce for a consumer who says, after you've bought this or when you've bought this, you get a different price because you're an existing customer, right? And so again, like, so the worlds aren't as far apart as they were 19, 20 years ago. But it still is different, right? And you have to think about it different. So when we talk about B2B, what we're talking about is building out an e-commerce solution where your customer is not the consumer, your customer is another company, and where that company, you fit into that model a little bit differently. And the way they buy, the way they think about buying, the decisions they're making on how they buy is also a little different, right? In a consumer play, everybody is making a choice every time, right? In a consumer play, I might buy a watch band for my Apple Watch. I might buy it from Apple, and the next band I might buy from Amazon, and the next band I might buy it through Facebook from some other vendor or Instagram who showed me an ad for it, right? I might buy three bands from three different places. In a B2B scenario, it's not me, it's my company, and my company makes a choice. And often that choice then gets locked in so that I buy one thing and then the next thing and the next, and I reorder with the same company for a while, right? You're building a business relationship. And so that means that the commerce dynamic is different.
Okay, right. So the people that we're talking about today are people who are already in e-commerce and moving into B2B. Is that kind of who we're talking about?
Yeah. So I think for the most part, the people that I talk to, they're store builders, because we're still talking store builders. But I think most store builders start in B2C and then they get invited with that first customer into B2B. And it can sound really scary, right? Like, oh, I don't know what B2B means. And so, like I said, I think it's coming closer than ever before. And I think it doesn't have to be as scary as it was 20 years ago, but there is a different dynamic, right? We talk a lot about segmentation, and we've done it in a previous show, but we talk about segmentation as often breaking up your different audiences to be able to deliver, say, different email campaigns. Here, you're talking about segmentation as a way to potentially change the feature set, right? Or underlying dynamics. So if I segment a customer in a B2B site, I may use that to use a different pricing algorithm or discount on pricing or whatever. Not necessarily just the email campaign, but the actual prices they see, or I may turn on and off a feature based on what group they're in, right? Which means I segment and stick them in a group. So that's who we're trying to do, store builders who are now stepping into B2B and going, okay, what is it? What do I have to do? How do I have to think about it? That kind of stuff.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk about B2B consumers as shoppers. How do they shop differently from normal B2C customers or normal consumers?
Volume.
Okay.
that's the volume, and they want different kinds of discounts, right? So if I'm buying, I mentioned before sprinkler heads, but it could be anything, right? If I'm buying, we built a B2B site years and years ago where it was a steel company that was selling steel to construction companies, but they were selling them short-term steel. Meaning, so if you're building a building, you know how much steel you need. You make a big purchase. It comes from another country. It comes over on a boat and, you know, on a ship, and then you offload it. And that's how you got the cheapest price. But imagine you're in the middle of building and you realize, I need rebar, but I need a specific strength, a specific length, and I need a small amount, a small batch, and I need it now. Then you might go to a local person to buy that, right? And but you're not buying one piece of rebar. You're buying quantity. And so they had built in their system, the reason they invited us in is because they said, we have a problem with our software. And I said, okay, well, what was the problem? Well, when we have certain inventory in stock, certain steel, and it hasn't sold in a while, our system would automatically discount it. And our sales guys would see the discount because they would get flagged, and they'd start calling people and going, do you need this? Because I got it on cheap. So our owner ordered a bunch of new steel we'd never had before. Since we never had that steel in the system before, it showed us no sales. And since it showed no sales, it automatically discounted. So we bought this special steel and then it immediately, our software immediately put it on 30% discount. And then our guy sold it all at, you know, at 30%. And so the CEO was furious and like, we need a new B2B site. We need a new way to do this and smarter rules. And hence we got called in. So customers who buy in the B2B space, customers buy volume. And that means you have to think about not only the ability to make a volume purchase. So in a B2C site, you normally have a dropdown for quantity, like 1, 2, 3. It's a dropdown, like 1 to 10 or something. Here, you might have an open text box, quantity. Someone puts in 100, not dropping down and scrolling to 100, right? So there's a difference in that. Mm-hmm. But also, you're couponing, right? Like in the B2C space, you put in a coupon, right? In the B2B space, you get a discount, right? You know, I'm not putting in a special code. It's tied to the fact that I'm a customer. I have a customer tag or I'm in a customer group. That group gets 25% off. And so I get it. Or it shows the price and goes, here's, you get an automatic discount. So the way in which B2B customers buy is they buy in quantity and they expect discount and without coupon codes. So that immediately changes the nature of how you'd implement that in software.
Right, right. And that buying in volume is probably going to mean consistency too, right? Like they're going to have to come back to you at consistent intervals, right?
Yes, which means when you go into the section where you look at your previous orders, right? Mm-hmm. You need that extra little button that says reorder, right? It's not necessarily I'm signing up for a subscription. I just want to make a reorder a one-touch item, right? So adding reorder into the order display, right? The list of previous orders, historic orders, adding that reorder is critical. And also your billing's different, right? You're not going to go reorder. Oh, let me take you to your credit card. Now, it doesn't mean you can't offer some customers a credit card dynamic, right? But a lot of these people are going to pay an invoice, right? With terms. And so you would have to produce invoices. You'd have to email invoices. You'd have to track what's been paid. In a consumer play, if I sell a $200 jacket, I put a credit card in front of you, and then I get all $200. Like there is no, I'm going to send you partial payment. You're like, you pay me $200 and you get the jacket, right? But in the B2B space, because I'm sending invoices and other people are ordering and then the invoices are getting paid by a different group in the company, you might see that someone sent payment for part of an invoice, but not the remaining part. So now you have to track what's actually been paid and what hasn't and show you what's in arrears or show you that you're all, you know, leveled up. So again, how you present payments, balance due, your invoice itself may take a, is there any balance due and add it, right? Most of us don't have any experience with this if you've never been in B2B, but we all have a electric bill, right? Or a water bill. And in those bills, you'll see like, here's what you paid and here's what was missing. And so here's what's coming forward.
Okay, right. So speaking of that, discounts, deals, what kind of discounts or deals should we be offering to our clients?
So it's often going to be on the contract or the relationship that you have. So different customers in different segments may have different deals. But that means you want to use some sort of automatic application of discount when they just knowing when they sign in, right? So when you think about building a system, when someone signs in, they're assigned to a group. Based on that group, that has an adjustment to price, whether it's on the list price or in the discount at the end. But either way, that's going to apply a certain discount. And if that person was if that client or customer was in another group, they might have a different one, but the automatic application of discount is critical. And the other main thing that I forgot to mention, right, is restriction, right? Whether it's the catalog itself, whether it's specific items in the catalog, whether it's pricing on that catalog, this is all behind some protected space. You're not publishing this information. If I'm selling items in bulk, right? So again, back to our sprinkler head, I'm not going to put the unit price that I'm giving to my wholesale partner on the website for consumers. Because they're like, well, I'm not going to go to Home Depot. I'm just going to buy it from this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you have to buy 1,000 of them to get this price. So you also, a B2B e-commerce site often means there's restricted access, there's protection, there's a membership component, there's some way to say you have to log in to see, sometimes it's to even see the catalog, sometimes it's to see certain products, and often it's to see the pricing that's applied.
Okay. So yeah, so just to kind of clarify that, you can do B2B and B2C on the same website. You just have different portals of entry. Is that what you're talking about?
It's the entry piece. Yeah, that's for sure. So
okay,
you can have it on the same site, but the moment you log in, you're triggering this. Ooh, show them this catalog or this catalog. Show them this price discount or this price discount. Right.
Okay.
And ordering looks different, right? Like an ordering, when I buy in B2C, I go product category to product. And then once I'm in product, I have an add to cart. B2B is like, give me an order form, right? Give me an order form where I can put multiple lines of different products, put quantities in, see the totals and hit buy. So, an order form, a bulk order form, a wholesale order form, but whatever it is, it looks more like a spreadsheet than a let me go product by product, browsing through, clicking, add to cart, et cetera. Right. So that kind of bulk order forms are something you'd add to your site that mm-hmm. you potentially would only show to people that are in a certain membership group or certain tag.
Okay. Giving them that order form up front, is that just because they just want to save time? Is that mainly?
It's because what they plan to buy, right? Like like a person who buys a sweater at a store may only buy a sweater. But imagine if you're buying, so my friend was the buyer for a company called Red Envelope years ago, right? It was one of the first e-commerce stores. It was a boutique specifically for gifts. And she's buying product from other places in other countries and bring them into her one shop that they were going to sell out. Mm-hmm. So she's buying 20 things from a vendor and then going to another site and buying 20 from them and another 30 from them. So imagine you're trying to buy 20 things from a website. You don't want the click stream of over and over. So you just give me the bulk order form.
Right.
And then as I start typing, it does the type ahead, or I get a drop down. It just depends on the nature of how many products you have over there. Or I just punch in the SKU and it does the lookup. So I might just go SKU and it fills it in. And then I put in the quantity and it does the total and I go to the next one, SKU. And so you can imagine if I'm doing 20 different SKUs, I'm punching in 20 numbers. And the second time I log in, I'm just going and hitting reorder, or I'm going, create a new order based on this order. And it shows me everything, but now I change the quantities, right?
Right.
So the flow of checkout looks different, right? Because we've already talked about the fact that it's going to be potentially invoice versus credit card, but also how I order, the mechanisms and the screen UI that I'm presented is going to be different.
Okay. How does the customer service component change when you're working B2B?
I mentioned at the beginning of the show, right? Like one of the differences is these people likely get locked in for a period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's good news and bad news with that. The good news is if you win a B2B customer, you will likely have that customer for a long time, which means you could screw up, you could make a mistake, and you could still recover it, right? Because they're not going to leave you on the first mistake you make, because it takes work to build those relationships and to get those contracts and negotiate the catalog prices and everything else. So the good news is you have time to build an amazing relationship that allows you to really grow the business together. That's good news.
Right.
The bad news is if you screwed up, and it may be the third time or it may be the first time big enough, but when you screwed up, you lose a very big customer, right? In the B2C world, if I get annoyed by one customer who, let's say I sell 5,000 sweaters a week. I lose one customer. That's often losing one sweater.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything to me, right? I just say, forget you, and I move on. If I lose one B2B customer, I could lose all 5,000 sweaters, right? And then it's gonna hit my bottom line. So customer support, right, is so critical in terms of how do you support that customer? And it's the, how do I make up for mistakes or how whatever, but it's also, how do I deliver on the unique dynamics that that customer wants, right? So we talked about invoicing and purchase orders, right? But what happens if a specific customer wants a different payment term, right? Ah, I'm net 15, I'm net 30, I'm net 60, I'm net 90. Net 90 means you're giving them, you know, 90 days of free cash, right? 90 days of not having to pay until they have to come up and pay. You likely wouldn't build that in on first try. So you build your solution and everything is net 15 or net 30. And then a key customer comes to you, right? And says, I would like, you know, our policy is changing or I would like you to change this. That's customer service too, right? Even though you're going back to your store builder and you're building another feature, or, hey, I want to use a credit card, right? And I want to keep that credit card on file. And I want to use that credit card for any order under $1,000, but not orders over $1,000. So if you get an order over $1,000, I want you to switch to the PO. But if it's under, then I want you to use the card. And you're like, the answer, by the way, is always yes. Mm-hmm. But it's let me go make that happen. Right.
Okay. Right. All right. Well, just to wrap up here, are there any resources or integrations or plugins that people should consider?
The answer, of course, is it totally depends, right?
Okay. Because
it depends on the platform that you're on. But we know a lot of folks that are building B2B stores on Magento and on WooCommerce. And so, of course, for them, you go, yeah, first of all, it's possible to do. And second, there's definitely products to look at. The one thing I'd mention is in Adobe's acquisition of Magento and in their new product, they articulate that if you want to do B2B, you do it up in their version of the Adobe's Magento cloud solution, right?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like that's the only place you can do it. And the truth is, on the open source one, on the what used to be a community edition, on a version that you control yourself, you can still do B2B, right? There are modules that you can add in. There's a lot that Magento does just straight out of the box, but then you can also add a couple modules to get you some of that stuff, right? And so that's obviously worth looking at. And there are agencies that help with that. On the WooCommerce side, you see less people doing B2B on the WooCommerce side, but it doesn't mean you can't do it. We've definitely done it with some folks. Where you do automatic discount rule application predicated on what group they're in. When they log in, you know which group they're in, and that changes the catalog. So there are tools out there. I think the key message is to WooCommerce store builders, it is possible to do, and to Magento store builders, it is possible to do, and it is possible to do without putting it on the Adobe cloud.
Okay. Chris, this was great. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Take care.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to set up a successful B2B e-commerce store. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.